All right, Isaiah chapter number 52 and verse number 1. I'm going to do a little bit of lengthy reading. I'm going to read this entire chapter and then the first verse of the next chapter and use that as our springboard. Isaiah 52, verse number 1, awake. That's to Baptist people, amen. Awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. So you see in verse number 1 that he's talking about a better day for Jerusalem coming one of these days. You know that's talking about a future day in the kingdom. All right, verse number 2. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. He's talking about redemption. He's announcing that Israel is about to be redeemed. Verse 4, for thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord. And my name is continually, or my name continually every day is blasphemed. It sounds like today. Verse 6, therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. Look at verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bring good tidings, that publish peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. He's talking about the beautiful feet of them that bring the good news. Amen. Verse 8. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy. By the way, verse 8, when the Lord shall bring again Zion. He's going to do it himself. He doesn't need help. Amen. He's talking about the redemption. He's going to redeem Israel himself. He's going to say that again in verse 9. Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. Amen. The Lord hath made bare his arm, his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart ye, depart ye. Go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your reward. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. You know what he's talking about here when he said my servant? He's talking about the Lord Jesus. His son is his servant. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Amen. So he's talking about his servant, the son, being humiliated and then being exalted. We know that from the book of Philippians chapter number 2. Christ came and humbled himself, then is to be exalted. All that's in verse number 13 there as well. Look at verse 14. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man. We know that's talking about Christ. His sufferings before the cross and on the cross. His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. By the way, he's not talking about sprinkling water or sprinkling for baptism. He's talking about sprinkling his blood. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see. And that which they had not heard shall they consider. verse number 1 of chapter 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Help us, Lord. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I want to take this text as a springboard. I want to preach from verse number 1 of chapter 53 on this phrase, who hath believed our report? Amen. Now, I say to you that you probably know that Isaiah 53 is holy ground. It's area that we perhaps should take our shoes off. It's area where we recognize the great plan of God for redemption down through the ages. It is revealed in Isaiah 53 more clearly than in any other Old Testament scripture that is there. And verse number 13 of chapter number 52 ties in and actually leads in, I believe, to that statement. And so he ends chapter number 52, verse 15, with a statement, so shall he sprinkle many nations. Again, I say that's not talking about sprinkling for baptism. By the way, the Bible never talks about sprinkling for baptism. Right. Baptism is immersion. But it's talking about the sprinkling of the blood. Amen. And that blood that's being shed, that blood of the Lamb of God. Amen. Not just any blood, not just any lamb, but the holy blood of God from the holy Lamb of God. Amen. And so he's talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he says that in verse number 52 as well, or verse number 13, 15 of chapter 52, he says that it's going to shut the mouths of the kings. I believe it's the same kings that he talks about in Psalm chapter number 2, that the kings of the earth rise up and say, let's cast off these bands. We should not have this man to reign over us. And they plot together and they plan together how they're going to overthrow God and His Christ. Amen. But God's going to shut the mouths of the kings one day because Christ won the battle on Calvary. Amen. And so that's exactly what he's dealing with in this text. But he says what's going to shut their mouth. Look at the end of verse number 15. He said, for, that we would say because. All right. Let me just read back. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him for or because that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Interesting to me how God puts a service together, and He laid this message on my heart yesterday. Earlier yesterday, I got to thinking along these lines of Isaiah 53, and God led me in this direction. But as we come into service and we're singing about redeemed, and we're talking about redemption, that Christ is redeeming Jerusalem. He didn't just redeem Jerusalem. He didn't just redeem Israel. Amen. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. I believe all that which was lost. Jews and Gentiles. Amen. He came to seek that which was lost, and thank God that He did. And we've been talking about and singing about redemption. And then Miss Kristen actually talking about, wish she'd heard before, hadn't heard before about the gospel of Jesus Christ. People that tried to help her, and they helped her as much as they knew how to help her. But they didn't know the Lord Himself, and so therefore they didn't have the means to help her with the Lord. I'm not implying I hope too much on these folks, but I'm simply saying that that's the way it sounded to me. And here's what our Lord said. Our Lord said, if there's going to be redemption, somebody needs to hear about it. If anybody's going to get help from redemption, somehow or another, they've got to be told. Amen. And so He says these kings of the earth are going to have their mouths shut because they're going to see something they never considered. They're going to hear about something that they had not previously heard about. Now, here's what I believe. Nobody would ever have imagined a plan of salvation like God designed the plan of salvation. It would not have come to us to have been this intricate plan that God has laid out. Amen. So the kings of the earth, in thinking about building their utopia, in thinking about building their great kingdom, by the way, it's interesting to me, everybody wants the greatest nation on earth as long as they're at the head of it. Amen. Their kingdom's got to be better than all the other kingdoms. They want the best kingdom, but it's got to be them that's at the head of it. Well, what Christ did was He was at the head of it, and He stepped down, if you would say it that way, from the head of it, and offered Himself as a sacrifice that He might build the greatest kingdom of all, which is the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And now, because He humbled Himself, He will be exalted and will be at the head of it. Thank God. Amen. But He's talking here about how that these nations are going to see something that they never imagined would be. And they're going to hear something that they never considered that they would ever hear. Amen. He's speaking about the wonderful gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we all know that Isaiah 53 is the pinnacle of Old Testament prophecy. Amen. Isaiah 53 is probably the tallest mount. If you could look at the landscape, the topography of the Old Testament, I believe Isaiah 53 would be one of the tallest peaks in that mountain. It displays the sacrificial death of Christ more clearly than any other chapter in the Old Testament. Only one that would come even close would be Psalm 22. Amen. That might come close to talking about the death, the sacrificial death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But Isaiah sees it in its entirety, and he displays it in such a wonderful picture. Now, this is an amazing and wonderful text for us to read. It's a wonderful text for us to meditate upon. And so I think it'd do us good to think on that a little while, and I'll try to do that as we go along. But I want you to think about this just for a few moments. Let's think about this first line that falls from the lips of the prophet Isaiah of Psalm 53. He's got great news to pronounce, but he does not start this chapter with great news. He starts this chapter with bad news. So many have not heard, have not obeyed, have not believed the report that he's given out. Amen. And so I notice this searing question that he begins this statement with. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now, there's more here than I could ever get out in one sermon, but I'm going to try my best to preach to you the thoughts that I've got. And I've got 5 points that I want to bring out to you this morning. My introduction will be a little long, my first point a little long, and then the others will come in a little quicker. So I'll just go ahead and give you that update as we get started. But I want to preach today on the thought, who hath believed our report? Amen. Now, let me start off by way of introduction saying that it cannot be doubted that this report is talking about Jesus. Amen. Matter of fact, you remember when the Ethiopian eunuch, the man we come to know as the Ethiopian eunuch, asked Philip the evangelist, who's this man talking about? He's reading Isaiah chapter number 53, and he asked the question, who is this man talking about? And in Acts chapter number 8, verse number 34 and 35, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, whom, or of whom, speaketh the prophet this? Of himself? Or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Amen. That is rightly dividing the Word of God. That is correctly interpreting the Scripture. Isaiah 53, without doubt, is talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The report is the report of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we would compare the 4 books of the Bible that we call the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we would find that they agree specifically with Isaiah 53. Amen. You would find out that the apostles together have commented on almost every verse of Isaiah 53 somewhere in your New Testament. When you go studying their sermons and studying the things that they wrote and said, you'll find out that the apostles covered almost every single verse of Isaiah 53, and in every case, they applied this to none other than the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, here's my imagination. I think about Isaiah. Isaiah had a great day. Isaiah 6, that in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Isaiah had a great day that day when he saw God. Here's another great day in the life of Isaiah when he gets to describe to us the sufferings of the Son of God. He gets to announce this great news that God is going to redeem Israel. He's got a son who's going to be his servant. It's going to be a suffering servant. It's going to bleed and die. But he's not going to stay dead, thank God. He's not only going to suffer, he's going to satisfy the demands of the law. Amen. And then he's going to rise again with great power and with great rejoicing. So I imagine when the prophet Isaiah studied this sermon and prepared to preach the sermon, or when he prepared to write it down, he was doing so with great exuberance. His heart was leaping with joy. But when we look at the first statement, he's not rejoicing. It's not a statement of rejoicing. It's a statement of remorse. No doubt he was exceeding glad and happy to get the good news of the gospel. But he's exceeding sad and sorrowful that it is not better received. Amen. He cries out with regret, "Who hath believed our report?" Amen. This is good news. Amen. This is good news that we have to share with the world. This is good news that we have to carry to others. But why is it that though so few believe it? Amen. He says, "Who hath believed our report?" Such is the state of mankind. Most are unconcerned about their soul. Amen. Most people, if they've got food on the table, if they've got clothes on their back, or they don't even need many clothes, most of them, if they've got, you know, just something to keep them happy, they're not thinking about their soul. Amen. As long as they're healthy, they've got, you know, things seem to be going their way pretty much. They got a good job, or at least satisfactory. They go right along. They're not thinking about the future. They're not, of course, not thinking about dying, not thinking about where they're going to spend eternity. They are so unconcerned about their soul. Not only are they unconcerned, but so many are so obstinate, so antagonistic towards God. I mean, all they look at God, they don't look at God as offering salvation. They look at God as putting restrictions on them, as God at putting condemnation on them. They look at God as one that's going to stop them from having the fun that they've enjoyed so long that they want to enjoy even more. They look at God as robbing them rather than as God giving them this good news. And therefore, they don't receive the report. Many of them reject it outright. Amen. Notice also the second question in verse 50, or verse number 1 of chapter 53. Not only who hath believed our report. Well, this statement is revealing as well. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It shows that the gospel requires more than preaching. It's not enough that the gospel is heralded. Amen. It takes the arm of the Lord to reveal that gospel to people. You can argue to people, you can preach to people till you're blue in the face and they're red in the face. And you won't help them if the Holy Ghost doesn't drive that point home. I believe it takes the Holy Ghost to open the heart, as He did to Lydia, that the good seed might fall in there. Amen. I do believe that. Amen. And so the gospel requires God Himself revealing Himself to sinners, and He does that through preaching. Amen. When I say it requires more than preaching, that's not belittling preaching. That's what God uses, is preaching. Amen. It requires God revealing Himself to the sinner through preaching. In other words, the Holy Ghost must move in the preaching in order to allow people to be able to hear the report, to allow them to be able to repent and believe the gospel unto salvation. Amen. Now, notice, as I said, that statement there, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? We need God to move in our services again. We need God to move in our preaching again. We need God to move in our witnessing again. You ever feel like you're just beating your head against a wall, talking to your family, talking to your neighbors, maybe even in your prayer closet, praying for them, and you feel like, Lord, is this doing any good? It's not getting through to them. It doesn't seem like they're listening. It doesn't seem like your arm is being revealed. I'm telling you, we need to get back to that praying and believing God and begging God that His arm might be revealed again, sinners might be saved. Amen. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Again, notice that the prophet Isaiah is lamenting that so few seem to be moved at all by the power of God. They're not accepting the good news that He's offering them of the gospel. Amen. It seems that many, though pricked in their heart by the Holy Ghost, though convicted of their sin, yet they delay, they put off salvation. They put off turning to Christ. Many get preoccupied with other thoughts. Amen. By the way, I believe that's one of the dangers of the day we're living in. Amen. Used to be, you didn't have a radio. Horses didn't come with radios on them. Amen. You traveling down the road from church to home, you thought on what was preached. Amen. You got home, you didn't have internet or you didn't have cable TV. You didn't have all the accessories that we have today that might preoccupy ourselves with things. Amen. We didn't have all that, but today we have things that preoccupy us. Matter of fact, sitting right in the congregation while the preaching's going on, without having a device in your hand or without being plugged into some earphones or something like that, you can allow your mind to be preoccupied with the things of the world rather than with the things of God. And the devil then is snatching away that good seed before it even has time to take root and bring forth any fruit to the glory of God. Amen. And so it seems like so many sinners, by preoccupying their mind with these other things, just seem to be able to shrug off the working of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, they have not received our report. They are not captivated by the gospel. They are not motivated to obey the gospel that is being preached. In other words, they have not received and do not receive our report. I said I'm going to preach on five things. Number one, I'll throw these five out. I want to talk about the matter of the report. Then the many that have reported it. Number three, the missing of the report. Number four, the miracle of the report. And number five, the master of the report. Amen. First of all, I want to talk about the matter of the report. This is the most important. I'll deal with this the most. The matter. Notice what he says in our text. Who hath believed our report? Underline the word report. That's what he's talking about. What do you have to believe in order to be saved? What is it that you must receive in order to be saved? It's not that you got to believe the Baptist. It's not that you got to believe that I'm a good man. It's not that you got to believe a lot of these. But I'll tell you what you got to believe. You got to believe on Jesus. You got to receive Him and everything that is about Him. Amen. Amen. You know that not every sermon is on the sacrificial or mediatorial work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to preach on clothing. We need to preach on parenting. We need to preach on marriages. There's a lot of things that need to be preached. Tithing, amen. There's a lot of things that need to be preached on. But there's nothing more important than preaching on Jesus. Amen. And that is the substance of the report mentioned here. Amen. You can disbelieve what I say about clothing. You can disbelieve what I say about tithing. You can disbelieve what I say about parenting and possibly still go to heaven with all that if you've believed the gospel. But if you disbelieve the gospel, it don't matter how clean you live, how much you tithe.
Right.
Amen. Doesn't matter all those other things, how good a family you raise. None of that matters if you miss the gospel. This is the most important part of the ministry. Amen. And so the preaching, the substance of the gospel is the report that's mentioned right here. Now, when I looked up that word in our text, that's called report. I'll get a little technical here, and most of you know I might be a little, geekish in that. I like the technicalities of words on that. This word is Strong's number 8052. It's a Hebrew word that's found 27 times in your Old Testament. Interesting that there's 27 books in the New Testament. And for each of those books, this word, report, is found in your Old Testament Scripture. This word's found 27 times in the King James Old Testament. It is translated report, as it is here, only 4 times in all the Bible. The most prominent time it's translated report is in 1 Samuel 2:24, when Eli is castigating his sons about the bad report that he's been getting about them. You remember that? He says, "Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress." So Eli says, "The report I've heard is a bad report on you guys." That word here, this Hebrew word, is always used in speaking about information previously unknown. It's talking about information that was previously unknown, but now has been heard, has been spoken. It carries the connotation of secret information to which someone has been made privy, but not everyone is privy to. Amen. It's news that everybody does not know. Eli said to his sons, "Sons, I'm hearing some bad stuff that everybody don't know, but I know about you now." Amen. This word is also translated one time as news. And this is a great text in Proverbs 25:25. "As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country." Amen. This report that Isaiah is talking about is good news from a far country. And it'll be as cold water to a thirsty soul. Amen. The far country being heaven, it's good news from heaven. Man didn't cook up this plan. Man didn't cook up this report. God designed this plan. Amen. And God designed this report. But here's the problem. Not too many souls are thirsty. Amen. Not too many souls are thirsting after God. They do not... What's wrong? They're drinking from this world. They're sipping the suds of this world. They're living the life of this world. They're not thirsting after God. They have not believed our report. Amen. Miss Kristen and Miss Stephanie said that, and played off of that song that they sang, said that both of them felt like that they could say that He saved the worst among you when He saved a wretch like me. Paul said the same. He said, "I was chiefest among sinners." Amen. I believe every one of us at one point in time have to look upon ourselves as the worst of the refuse of the world. We're the worst garbage that there is in the world. Amen. And that Christ in His mercy would save somebody like us. Hallelujah. Amen. That is good news from a far country. If you'll just get to the place you thirst after it, you'll hear some good news. Amen. But this particular Hebrew word, translated report, translated news, is twice translated as fame. Fame is both times talking about the Queen of Sheba hearing the news about Solomon, King Solomon. 1 Kings 10:7, "Howbeit I believed not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard." 2 Chronicles 9:6, "Howbeit I believed not their words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the one half of the greatness of thy wisdom was not told me, for thou exceedest the fame that I heard." Amen. And so she said this. She said, "There, I heard a report that was just too amazing for me to believe. I heard a report that was, I could not imagine that it could be true. But when I came and saw with my own eyes, when I came in the presence of the king, when I met some of his servants, when I saw some of his riches, when I ate from his table, I realized that the half had not been told me. Amen. That story was good news. Amen. That was a good report that I heard. Matter of fact, she said it's a fame. It is a true report that I heard. Amen. And it excels anything I could have imagined. I want to say to you that grace is more amazing than you can imagine it to be. Amen. That's why it's called amazing grace. Amen. We'll come to Christ. We'll find out. Here's our thought. We hear the story. We say, well, that sounds too good to be true. And it does, by the way. Amen. It does. That we could be sinners. We could be sinners by choice. We could be sinners by nature. We could be sinners by habit, just living our life, just sin, sin, sin. And yet God in His mercy made a way that we could be forgiven our sins. That sounds almost too good to be true, but it is true. Amen. The half has not been told. Amen. This Hebrew word translated report has also been translated 8 times as tidings. Tidings. Which is, by the way, where we get the word gospel from, which means good tidings or good news. Amen. But the most frequent translation of this word is a word that we don't think of in a positive connotation. This Hebrew word, number 80, whatever it was, 8052, is translated more than anything else, is translated rumor. Rumor has it. What is a rumor? Rumor is secret information that not everybody is privy to. But somebody's told it. Amen. Now, if anybody ever comes to you and says, listen, now I'm going to tell you this, but you can't tell another living soul, they're asking you to do something they're not willing to do. Because they're fixing to tell another living soul. A lot of times the reason they don't want you to tell another, so they get to tell everybody. Amen. But a rumor is secret information that not everybody knows, but somebody is leaking that information. Somebody is telling that information. Amen. And that's what this word is translated more than any other. I've got all 9 of them listed. I'm going to read them to you. I'm not have you turn there, but I'm going to read them to you. It's a blessing. In 2 Kings chapter number 19, verse number 7, it says, behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land. And I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. That's God talking about Rabshakeh, the general that had come up against Israel. And Isaiah chapter number 37, verse 7 tells the same story. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and return to his own land. And I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. There's a rumor that got a man to go back home and quit fighting against Israel. Jeremiah chapter number 49, verse 14. Jeremiah said, I have heard a rumor from the Lord. That's where this rumor came from. From the Lord. And an ambassador is sent unto the heathen, saying, gather ye together and come against her and rise up to battle. He's talking about the fact that Babylon is going to come and attack Israel. The Assyrians are going to attack them. And he said, I've heard a rumor from heaven, God sending out the word to the heathen. Jeremiah chapter number 51 and verse number 46 uses the word rumor and this Hebrew word 8054 3 times. Isaiah 51 verse 46. And lest your heart faint and you fear for the rumor that shall be heard in the land. A rumor shall both come 1 year, and after that in another year shall come a rumor and violence in the land, ruler against ruler. Ezekiel talks about it in the same way. Twice he says in 7:26. He says, mischief shall come upon mischief, and rumor shall be upon rumor. Then shall they seek a vision of the prophet, but the law shall perish from the priest, and counsel from the ancients. Then the last time this word is translated rumor in your King James Bible is Obadiah chapter 1, verse number 1. It says, the vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom, we have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise and let us rise up against her in battle. Amen. What I notice about the times rumor is used in the King James Bible, almost every time it's God sending the rumor. He sent a rumor to get a general to leave the battlefield to go home and die in his own country, but to spare Jerusalem. By the way, in answer to prayer, he sent a rumor for that. He sent a rumor to Babylon to come and conquer Jerusalem, but he let Jeremiah know about it so they could be prepared. Amen. He sends these rumors, and Obadiah said, I've heard a rumor from the Lord. And over Jeremiah said, I have heard a rumor from the Lord. And so God is promoting this rumor. Now here's where I want to go. A rumor is usually something that is told in secret. A rumor is told to somebody you care something about. A rumor is told usually in private. It's not broadcast from the pulpit. Once in a while they are. Amen. Some of these magazines are famous for putting headlines out that are rumors. They don't have the facts about them. It's just rumors, something that they heard somewhere, told privately or secretively. But can I say to you that the gospel does not need to remain secret? Amen. The gospel doesn't need to remain secret. The gospel needs to be spread. The gospel needs to be told. Amen. Somebody said we ought to talk about spreading the gossip instead of, or we ought to use the word gossip, and people spread gossip instead of gospel. Amen. But the rumor needs to be told. But here's what I thought about it. There's a lot of places it's not real safe to talk too publicly about the gospel. Places that are controlled by the Muslims, places that are controlled by the communists, amen. Even our society, places that are controlled by the humanists and the progressives in our land today. There's places that it's almost secretive that you got to say something about the gospel. In that case, say it secretive. Whisper it to them. Tell them the gospel. Tell them privately, amen. Tell them one-on-one. But I do want to say the gospel ought to be declared publicly. Something else I thought about a rumor. A rumor is usually told excitedly. Well, I just got this juicy piece of information. I remember Brother Wales telling this story. He's talking about spreading gossip. And he said this woman on the phone and said, somebody's telling her. She said, tell me more, tell me more. And they told her a little more. She said, tell me more, tell me more. And they told her, she said, I can't believe that, tell me more. And said, finally that lady said, I done told you more than I know. Well, a rumor is generally something that is told excitedly. And the gospel ought to be told excitedly. The gospel is good news that people ought to get excited about. Amen. Amen. We ought to get excited about telling it, and we ought to get excited about hearing it, even though we've heard it again. Amen. Amen. And then a rumor is not just something told excitedly and secretively, privately, but a rumor is something that's told repeatedly or repetitively. You tell it to one and you tell it to another and you pass it along and you pass it along and you pass it along. I'm telling you that the gospel ought to be told repetitively. Amen. We ought to say it again and again. Amen. Rumors are something that started somewhere and then spreads around quickly. Amen. We need to spread the gospel quickly. Time is running out. So I talk about the matter of the report. What is the report? The report is talking about Jesus. Number two, I want to talk about the many who have reported. Notice what he says in the text. Who hath believed our report? Not my report. Not just my report. It's our report. I believe he is in that place talking about not only himself but all the prophets. Because all the prophets, both before Isaiah and after him, owned this report. This was the same report that they gave. Amen. Everyone who has ever preached the truth, or everyone who ever will preach the truth, is preaching this same report that Isaiah has given in Isaiah chapter number 53. Amen. There's no other Savior except Jesus Christ. There's no other gospel except this gospel. Amen. You know it well. In Acts chapter 4, verse number 12, he says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the only report you're going to have. That's it. This is the report. John chapter 5, verse number 39. Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." He says, this book is all the same report. This book is all talking about Jesus. It's the only report we got. Amen. Luke chapter number 24. On the road to Emmaus, our Lord spoke with those disciples. In verse number 27, the Bible said, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself." That's the many that have reported it. All the apostles, all the prophets, all the preachers. Acts chapter number 10. Let's turn there if you will. I believe it would be good to see that. Acts chapter number 10 and verse number 43. Acts chapter 10 and verse number 43. I know I'm just on my second point, but I am getting close to the finish line. Unless I get my second wind. Amen. Second point. Amen. Acts chapter number 10, verse number 43. Here's what the Bible says. "To him," who's that talking about? It's talking about Jesus. He's the judge. "To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." Amen. That's the report of all the prophets. That you got to believe on Jesus in order to have your sins forgiven you. Amen. I believe this is true. I today am preaching the same gospel message that Isaiah preached. Amen. That Malachi preached. Amen. Amen. That Paul preached. That John the Baptist preached. Amen. Not preaching the gospel of the kingdom, but the gospel of Christ. The only, and we'll say the only report that there is. Amen. We preach Jesus Christ crucified for our sins. We preach Jesus Christ raised in proof that He has justified us. And that is the gospel. Amen. It's the same gospel message that all the great preachers down through the past have preached, because there's only one true gospel. Amen. Therefore, and here's my point I'm making. If you reject this gospel message, it's not just my preaching you're rejecting. You say, "But preacher, if I'd have been born in the days of Spurgeon, I'd have got saved." No, you wouldn't. Not if you reject this message, because this is the message he had. Amen. "But preacher, if I lived in the days of John the Baptist, I'd have believed." No, you wouldn't. If you lived in the days of Jonah, you wouldn't have believed. Right. Amen. Amen. And matter of fact, I'll just throw it out there. Father Abraham, when that rich man said, "Send Lazarus, they'll believe one come back from the dead." He said, "If they don't believe Moses and the prophets." Why? Because Moses was preaching about Jesus. The prophets was preaching about Jesus. He said, "If they don't believe that, they won't believe though one rose from the dead." Amen. Amen. So there's the fact of the many that have sounded out this report. Number three, there's the missing of the report. That phrase found in the first three words, "Who hath believed?" Who hath believed our report? Seems that the Scripture is saying that many have not believed. You notice the problem is not with the ear. It's not who has heard. The problem is not with the ear. The problem is with the heart. They might have heard with the ear. They haven't believed with the heart. Amen. Isaiah is not remorseful about people not hearing. Isaiah is remorseful that people are not believing the report that he's sending out. Amen. And by the way, that rejection of the gospel was not constrained to Isaiah's day. Isaiah's day did reject it. But they rejected it in Ezekiel's day. They rejected it in Jeremiah's day. They rejected it in, and you go right down the line. All the prophets had people that rejected, even Christ himself and even us to this day. 2019, people that do not receive the gospel message. Matter of fact, God recognized they were going to reject it. And that's why he put this verse in here. Who hath believed our report? He brings this verse up. There's a quote of this verse two times in your New Testament. I want you to turn there. And he uses this quote to show you that people miss that gospel report. In John chapter 12. Turn there if you will. John chapter 12. our Lord has been preaching to some people. And he says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Verse 32. Look down at verse number 37. Verse number 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Esaias, that's Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which spake, or which he spake, look at this, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Hold your place in John 12 and turn to Romans chapter number 10. We're coming back to John 12 in a minute. The Bible said they didn't believe on the Lord, and he said the reason they didn't was that the Scripture might be fulfilled. Who said that? Isaiah said it. They've not believed. So when Isaiah said, who hath believed our report? John said that was saying they wouldn't believe his report. Romans chapter 10, you know that we talk about the Romans road. Look down at let's start at verse 13. That's where they like to start talking about salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Where's that? That's in Isaiah chapter 52 that we read previous. Look at the next verse, verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Esaias, that's Isaiah, saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Now, hold those two places, and we're going to be looking in Isaiah 53 again. I want to compare those in a moment. But I want to say this. God saw the failure of men. He saw that it was coming. Right. It didn't sneak up on God. It didn't surprise God. He knew that it was coming. And God said to Isaiah that the failure was coming. Men, women, boys, and girls have rejected the preaching of repentance and faith ever since the days of Noah. Amen. They rejected it all through the Old Testament. They rejected it all through the New Testament. They're still rejecting it today. And again, that's why Abraham said, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, if they don't receive that message, they won't receive the one rose from the dead. People down through time and people all around the world miss heaven because they miss this report that was given, the gospel message. Amen. Number four, I said we're going to compare this a little bit. I want to talk about the miracle of the report. Notice the word right in the middle. Who hath believed our report? Praise God. God makes it as simple as He can.
That's right.
Notice the simplicity of this human responsibility that God places upon Him. We're not required to understand the intricacies of the report.
Thank God.
Amen. We're not required to be able to explain the finer points of the report. All we're required to do is believe it. That's right. Believe the report. Notice John 12 and verse number 37. He says, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. You see that? That's their problem. And that the saying of Esaias, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Also, Romans chapter number 10, he's talking about believing, calling on the Lord. But he says there in the same text, he says they've not believed. They've not believed on the Lord. In other words, trust Christ by faith. Call upon Him by faith. Come to Him by faith. Believe the gospel by faith. It is really that simple. Amen. That's the miracle. That's the miracle. You don't have to join the church and do right for 40 years. And then, hopefully, you'll get in. No. Just believe the report that is given. And the last, I want you to notice this. I want you to notice the master of the report. Again, I'm comparing these two texts. Consider with me one moment. Look again at Isaiah 53 and verse number 1. Here's the statement. Who hath believed our report? I want to ask you, who's Isaiah talking to? You say, well, he's talking to God. I believe it is obvious he's talking to God. But Isaiah 53 does not say that he's talking to God. But when this text is translated in the New Testament, it does say that he's talking to God both times. Look again, John chapter number 12 and verse number 38. That the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake. What's the first word? Lord. Who hath believed our report? Look in Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Esaias saith, what's the first word? Lord, who hath believed our report? Both of these quotations in the New Testament tell us that Isaiah is talking to God. Isaiah's not complaining to you that nobody's hearing. Isaiah's not complaining to me that nobody's hearing. Isaiah's complaining to God that nobody is receiving, or that so few are receiving the gospel message. Amen. Here's the point that I want you to get. Isaiah is complaining to God that so little fruit is coming from his ministry. Isaiah's not saying, Lord, make me more popular. He's saying, Lord, make me more productive. Isaiah's not saying, Lord, make me more appealing to men. He's saying, make me more productive, that the gospel might sound forth, that people might believe the gospel and hear and be saved. Amen. Isaiah's not appealing to some man. He's appealing to God. He's upset that so little fruit has come from his personal ministry. Amen. And he's complaining that so little fruit is going to come even from others that have preached this wonderful gospel message. Now, I don't believe that Isaiah is just venting. I don't believe he's just releasing pressure, his anger at God. I believe he's praying. I believe he's praying. And I believe that's how we ought to approach Calvary, or approach preaching on Calvary. We ought to approach it prayerfully. I believe we ought to approach this talking about the sacrifice that God gave, or that Christ gave through, God gave through his Son, Christ gave through his life. We ought to approach that prayerfully. I just say this, and I'm about ready to hit the conclusion, but I believe he's praying. And I believe there is a call for concern and for prayer. Surely preachers and teachers ought to find a closet to weep in over the fact that so few of their listeners really hear what they're saying. That so few of their audience really believe what they're trying to preach. They're not really giving heed to the gospel message. We ought to find a secret place. I say not only preachers and teachers, but mothers and fathers. Yes. Ought to find a closet of prayer. We could call out to God that so few of our children are actually hearing the gospel we're trying to teach them. That so few of our relatives are actually heeding the gospel message that we're preaching and trying to teach to them. Amen. Miss Kristen mentioned having her daughters in church. Miss Joshua, Miss Stephanie mentioned about having her daughter in church. Wonderful privilege. But I'm telling you, weep if they don't hear. Pray that they hear. And I'm not just these. I'm saying all of us. Amen. It's good to have your family in church. Thank God that we can. It's a blessing. This church has so many generations of certain families in church. I pray it goes on. I hope I get to see the sixth generation of every one of you kids. Amen. Right here in this church, that'd be a blessing, wouldn't it? Amen. But I'm telling you, more than just them sitting on the pew is that they actually hear the gospel message. And then I'll say, I'm talking about coming to this story of Calvary and approaching the crucifixion prayerfully, sinners ought to approach it with remorse and fear that they've heard this message so often and it's not tendered their heart. That they've heard this message so, and sometimes so eloquently, so powerfully, and yet their heart's not warmed. Their heart's not broken. They have so easily rejected the gospel message. Who hath believed the report? Amen. Maybe you need to come pray. I'm going to stop there. Have them come with a song. I want to say, I address that to preachers and teachers, mothers and fathers, sinners in the congregation. And I want to say something about that again to the preachers. The greatest subject we can handle is this report. Praise God. The story of redemption through the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ought to study it vehemently. Amen. Amen. We ought to know it thoroughly. And we ought to preach it fervently. Amen. With all our heart. And I say to the saint, the gospel is your greatest study. You ought to study it. You ought to read. You ought to read the gospels again and again and again. Amen. You ought to study about the fact that Christ, what He did on Calvary for your sin. You ought to study it, read it, study it, meditate upon it, and repeat it. Tell it to others. Amen. And then I say to sinners, this is the best news you could ever hear. And you're going to give an account for every time you heard it. Amen. Christ tasted death for every man. He took your sins upon Himself. He who knew no sin became sin, that we could be made the righteousness of God in Him. He satisfied the law's demands for you. Well, ask again, who hath believed our report? Father, I thank You for the Word of God. Lord, I pray You'd move on hearts this morning. Lord, I do pray, help us to get serious and get real about the gospel. Lord, help us recognize the great opportunity we have to share it and spread it. And these days of free speech are probably headed to a close. Help us, dear God, to use the vehicles we have, to use the opportunities we have while we have the opportunity and the vehicle to spread the gospel. Lord, I pray for sinners. Deal with their heart. Deal with their soul. Bring them to conviction and conversion. In Christ Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Let's stand all over the house as we prepare to sing. If God spoke to your heart, you need to come. Would you just obey the Lord?